Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Take the bass line out.
Welcome back in the Morning Hookup, man. Happy hump day. And you know how we do it every Wednesday. We bring our man, Jameson Welch, basketballnews.com. Jameson, what's good?
Not much, man. Just another Wednesday. It's hot out here on the West Coast. Just trying to hydrate and stay afloat.
Hey, I want to start out with a Major League Baseball situation. And it's with this foreign substance stuff. And I bring it up because there's a few really, really good pitchers that are kind of involved in this, maybe not, could be. One yesterday sidestepped the question, and Gerrit Cole. Trevor Bauer has been in this mix. Give me your thoughts. Like, this is nothing new to Major League Baseball. Now they're like, maybe we should address this.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of anything like this, but at the same time, I don't think it's a big deal. Like, for them to make it a big deal like they are, I don't think that's the case. I don't think people are doctoring baseball, and that's going to make a difference. If guys can put pine tar on their bats and stuff, I don't mind pitchers putting some substances to make it get a better grip on the baseball. You know what I mean? So It's a big ordeal over nothing in my eyes. But I guess the sport doesn't have a whole lot of stories like this in general. So I get why it's getting the traction it's getting.
Yeah, it's super interesting with this whole thing. Why Major League Baseball all of a sudden, especially when you look at things like, I think it's a PR kind of deal, because you look at strikeouts way up, you look at home run rates down. Like, the league is like, well, wait a minute, how do we get the people to hit more home runs? Oh, it's the pitchers.
But it's not the league's fault. It's the people who like the analytics stuff, because basically they want you either swing for the fences or that's it, because the reason why the strikeouts are up isn't because of the stuff on the baseball or anything like that. That's not the case. The way the game is played is different. How many teams, I mean, y'all watch baseball, but how many teams are teams that manufacture runs? How many teams are teams that move guys over? How many teams are playing for, you know, three-run home run versus teams that are trying to basically play space in the station and drive guys in, you know, hitting the line, drive, hitting base hits? Right now, analytics tell you, hey, home run is it. That's what you go for. You know, swing four times hard, you might knock one off the park. That's where the issue is, because there's no more small ball in baseball. Like, that doesn't happen. I mean, half the guys can't even lay down and sacrifice butt. Mm-hmm. So that's more of the issue more than the doctored baseball at this moment.
We're talking to Jameson Welch with BasketballNews.com. Jameson, last night we got the news that Nikola Jokic, he is the MVP. And I'm just curious, man, do you agree with it? Who is your MVP this year?
I have no problem with Jokic getting it, because he was from game one to game, 70-something. He did his thing consistently, and I can respect that. I know a lot of people don't like it because they don't watch him because he's in the Mountain Time Zone. So I understand, but he deserved it. That's his award. The Nuggets were the 3 seed out west. And, you know, with that being said, you know, that says a lot. You know, when you have a really good player that was basically played every game, was as dominant as he was, the numbers he put up, yeah, that's his award. That's cool. I don't think anyone should have a problem with that. I really think that at the end of the day, though, it's good to have different faces win it. I think it's good for the sport. I think it's good for, you know, everything. Just having a different person, and the person that story isn't really out there. You have a guy who was drafted in the second round, winning the award. It's a good thing. It's a good situation. So I'm all for it. I'm happy for him. Good for a team like Denver Nuggets. That's not like a big brand of a team. It's good for basketball, because now it's known that, hey, a second round pick can be this good.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about. You know, thinking back to when he was drafted, what did you think about him?
We got drafted the same draft they drafted Nurkic in. So it was interesting. I remember the summer league, because I remember he didn't play that much in the summer league. And Nurkic was on the team, and they had Moutier, and they had a couple other guys, too. I believe they even had Gary Harris that same draft. So they had a good draft, like a very good draft. Because, matter of fact, I believe that's the draft they traded Doug McDermott for Nurkic and Harris, if I'm not mistaken. So you got three guys in that draft. You got some, you know, that's a really good draft. But I didn't think he'd be this good. But immediately they traded Nurkic right away because they figured, okay, well, we have something here. And next you know, he ends up being a starter, and then he ends up being a really good and an all-star, and then all-NBA, and then MVP. But I didn't think it would be like this, though. I don't think anyone did, because this is different, especially from a guy that, you know, was out of shape, that used to drink, like, basically a gallon of soda a day. You would never think he would be this, but here he is, and he's only getting better, it seems.
Hey, Jameson, it was just after we got off the air last week, about a week ago, Boston Celtics situation arose. Danny Ainge steps down. Brad Stevenson steps off the bench and steps up. Give me your thoughts. I thought it was surprising. Obviously, we know that through the bubble and COVID, it beat a lot of not just players up, but coaches, staff, all that stuff. Give me your thoughts on Brad Stevenson, and then who is going to be the next Celtics coach, in your opinion?
I mean, I don't know how you go from being a mid-major coach to the coach of the Celtics to being like head of basketball ops in 8 years. That's a hell of a career path. I don't know how it's going to work out because he's never done anything in the front office. That's not his forte. So for me, it's a very risky situation for a guy to get that role without having experience in it. But that job has a lot of intrigue with it. They have two really good young players. They have a lot of history there. So we'll see who gets it. I heard Chauncey Billups is a name a lot. So we'll definitely see. But Jason Tatum is a guy that they got to keep. You know, if they're trying to do anything with that team, they better figure out how to keep him. Because if they don't, it's a really big restart. And now they're about to go on their second contract. Once you're on the second contract, the time is ticking because guys don't really want to stay in Boston. You know, they want to go to different cities, different places. So don't be surprised if things don't turn around soon. You start hearing some whispering saying, hey, this guy wants to go here, or he wants to go play with this person. Don't be surprised.
We're talking to Jameson Welsh. Jameson, looking at the Mavs, you know, they almost took that series from the Clippers. They played good. One thing we know is Luka is amazing, but Porzingis, you know, there's reports out saying he's frustrated in Dallas. What do you think comes out of Dallas in the offseason?
I mean, they got to make some moves. I mean, that team isn't that good. For them to get to seven games, they should have won the series in six. If Kawhi doesn't go crazy, they win the game. They win the series in six. But for them to get to seven games with the team they had says a lot about, you know, Clippers, says a lot about Lucas, says a lot about the Mavs. Honest with you, I didn't think they're that great of a team. I didn't. I thought they were just a regular team. But the one thing I did admire, the one thing I did see, is that when they shoot it very well, they can beat anybody. But when they come back down to earth, they're just a regular squad. As good as Luka is, Luka can only do so much. It's almost like Harden in Houston. You've seen this show before, you know, where a guy dominates the basketball, puts up great numbers, but the team ain't that good. We've seen this movie before. But the problem is Dallas can't really make a lot of trades. Like, they don't have a lot of assets. Porzingis isn't really a plus asset right now, so what do they do with that? You know, so it's very interesting to see what way they're going to go. But I thought that Porzingis had some good points. If those quotes are really true, he really doesn't have a lot of, you know, he's basically told to stay in the corner and watch Luka. And if you're getting paid $30 million, that's not supposed to happen. So it's going to be interesting to see who wants to play with Luka, because if that style is going to continue, you're not going to get a second star there. No second star. That's an all-star caliber player is going to want to stand in the corner and watch someone else play. That ain't going to work.
Hey, Jameson, going back to the coaching ranks a little bit, Portland, they moved on from their coach after as many years as had he been there. I think you alluded to this. It may have been time to make a change after you overstate your welcome, essentially. Not your welcome, but you just can't get it any further than what you've got it. But interesting is the fact that when Dame come out and he really threw Jason Kidd's name out there, now Jason Kidd has said, man, I'm backing up from this a little bit, not going to pursue this. Does Jason Kidd eventually end up in Portland?
No. The Portland job is a really bad job right now because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to ax out. You don't know what the GM's thinking. The GM made some comments yesterday. You stay away from that job. That job is a no-no. That is a, you don't know, no. You don't want to mess with that job. That job looks like a big problem right now. Issue is the GM might get fired next year. We all know whenever somebody comes in, they hire their own GM. But you don't want to be the guy that gets the job and 12 months later you're in a bad situation. So I would not touch that job at all. But I would also want to hear from Dame Lillard because he may have a change of heart. You know, he's been there for a while. The team isn't going anywhere. The team is built poorly. And here we are. You know, where the Blazers are no better than they were 4 years ago. It's a regular team that gets, you know, they're basically a speed bump. They get to the playoffs, they get beat in the first round. That's their MO. So with all that being said, yeah, it's going to be the same situation next year. Now they got to make some moves. McCollum's the only guy that brings them back anything of value. We'll see what happens.
Jameson, we're into the second round. And, you know, thinking back to some of the first round games and what you've seen so far, who's playing the best basketball right now out of who's left?
Oh, the Nets. That's easy. The Nets are scary. They don't have Harden, but they're scary. They're lethal on offense. Durant, Kyrie, they got Mike James hooping, and he played for a team in Europe, or played in the EuroLeague earlier this year. So, I mean, they got some guys, man. Durant looks healthy. He looks like, 2018 Durant when he was on the Warriors. He looks like that. So if he's playing like that, Kyrie's playing like that, then, the rest falls into place, and that's pretty scary. Because when Harden comes back, it's even worse. And they have Milwaukee looking really bad, and Harden has played like one play of the series. I thought Milwaukee would give a much better series. So it's not a good sign for Milwaukee, if I have to say so.
Jameson, going back obviously in the first, back to the first round, the defending champions exit early. When you look at that, obviously, I mean, I'm going to sit here and tell you as a Laker fan, the injuries, the number of games that that low number of games that AD and LeBron played together played a huge factor in this, and the short rest and all that stuff in the bubble. I think probably like you, they'll be back. But what are some offseason things that you're going to be looking at that they're going to be doing?
Well, you need more shooting. You got to have more shooting. I mean, they had guys shoot in the single digits percentile wise in their six playoffs games. That just can't happen. You got to put better shooting around those guys, keep the floor space. Also, you have to get a third guy that can guarantee you 17, 18 points a night, if not more. Because LeBron's getting older. He's in year 19 coming up. You're going to need someone to take the load off. Anthony Davis is fine. Let him get healthy. Let him get right. He'll be fine. Not worried about him. But you got to get a third guy, a DeRozan type, or a guy like that, that can score, that can get his own shot, that can create something, because right now they have a bunch of role players that aren't really creators. They're waiting for somebody to create, and that's not going to work. So they need to revamp the roster a bit. Some of the guys they can keep, I think, like Caruso is okay and THT is okay, but some of the other guys, man, whew, I look long and hard at Kuzma and KCP and those types. They may have to go.
Jameson, looking at that Philly-Atlanta series, it's pretty good so far. Atlanta took one, but Embiid just came out nuts the other night. Looking at this series, if you're a betting man, who are you betting on coming out of this one?
Philly eventually gets out of it, but it might not be as easy as they once thought. I think a lot of people thought they would win in five. That one may go six or seven. Like, Atlanta's going to get the game in Atlanta, and they may get two. If they get two, it goes seven. Philly hasn't been impressive to me outside of that stretch in the third quarter last night, or third going into the fourth quarter. They haven't been that impressive. Like, they haven't. They've been, they're okay, but there's nothing, Embiid's been amazing. But as a team, they haven't been that. Like, there's nothing that scares me about Philly. Ben Simmons is still Ben Simmons, and until that changes, they are who they are. Now, they'll probably get to Atlanta, but this is it. They're not getting any further than that.
Jameson, out there in the West, you got Suns and Clippers going on right now, man. What can be said about the job that Monty Williams and you got Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Ayton is really becoming into one of those big guys, future star in this league. What can you say about the job they've done and how tough an out they're going to be? Because that pick and roll is it's pretty tough.
Well, it's interesting because you have Ayton, who is strong. Like, extremely strong, and Jokic is used to backing guys down and getting his way.
Mm-hmm.
He can't do that versus Ayton. he's not just going to back him down under the basket. That's not going to be the case. So that's a win in itself. If you don't have to double-team Jokic, you're in a good spot because you can stay at home with the shooters. You can make things difficult for everybody else. I think that's the key to the situation. I think staying home with everybody else makes it a lot more easier to deal with. So when I see it, I'm like, oh, okay. They have an advantage. They're not getting killed here, so that's a plus. But also, I mean, there's better. I mean, Denver's backcourt has Austin Rivers and a guy that people can't pronounce his name starting. So, you know, going against Chris Paul and Booker, that's not going to work. You know, you're not going to. It's not going to happen. So that's kind of where the series is. I expect Phoenix to take care of the series in 5 games or less.
We're talking to Jameson Welsh with BasketballNews.com, and there's that other series going on. I believe it's did you already mention the Utah series, Hooks? Yeah, the Utah series. And, you know, of course, Quinn Snyder getting third in the coaching votes. Also, yeah, let me ask you that real quick. We had Tom Thibodeau. He's coach of the year over Monty Williams. You were cool with that decision?
Yes, because everything is based on expectations. The Knicks had no expectation. They're supposed to be in the lottery. The Suns are supposed to be in the playoffs. Like, they were close last year. People have them in the bottom, between, 4 and 8 this year out west. So them being the 2 seed, yes, they exceeded expectations, but it wasn't anything crazy. No one had the Knicks as a 4 seed going into the season. No one. So it's cool. It's okay. And plus, we need a shakeup. If we all thought the same, that'd be a problem. I don't mind. Now, if Monty would have won, it would have been cool. Yeah, of course. If Nate McMillan would have won, it would have been cool. Of course. But no, Tibbs getting it. He's the coach for the Knicks. A lot of media is on the East Coast. We kind of know what's going on, but it's no big deal. It's just coach of the year. It's nothing serious.
Jameson, also, looking at some of this stuff going on, when you get there at the end of this thing, who's in the finals?
Brooklyn and Utah.
Interesting. Jameson, I wanted to ask you about the Olympic team. And, what have you been hearing? Because I'm trying to look at some things. I'm not really hearing too much stuff. The Olympics are for sure going to be going on, right?
Well, we hope so. I think they do, but I don't see any big NBA players playing in them. I see guys getting their rest and getting back on track for next season because next season starts in October, so you don't have the long December wait like you did this year. So I think that guys are going to, refer to taking rest and getting their bodies right rather than playing in the Olympics into that situation.
Do you have any names that you could give out to us who you think would play?
That's a good question.
Like Steph, are you thinking?
I can see Zion playing.
Okay.
I can see it. I'm not saying he's going to, but I can see it. It's a good marketing situation. It's a good thing for him to get in Team USA and get his fate. I can see that. I can see guys like that playing. I see the younger guys playing, the John Morants and the younger guys. But anyone on a second contract, I'd be surprised. I don't see Jason Tatum playing or Jaylen Brown playing. I don't see that. I see the really young guys playing. But I think we've gotten to the point where we can send college guys there, to be honest with you.
Right.
We don't need to. No, we really don't need to send the pros anymore. We've kind of made our statement known when it comes to basketball. I don't think we have to send the best of the best of the best. I wouldn't mind if we sent our 18 through 21 guys in college. I wouldn't mind that. I really don't, because pros, and it's tough, man, when you deal with the stuff they deal with in terms of their bodies, and then you're asking them to commit 2 months in the offseason for Olympics only. That's tough. So I would prefer to go back to the old ways where it's college guys, but we'll see what happens. But I can see the NBA going with a bunch of younger guys, guys on their rookie deals, and guys that are figuring things out. I could definitely see that.
Hey, James, last one before you get out of here. I think this is super interesting and kind of cool. Obviously, you see when Utah's at home, you end up seeing Dwayne Wade out there very active on the sidelines and celebrating big-time shots. For the Jazz, you also see guys like Mark Cuban that sit there, and they're very active in their teams. Do you see this future of NBA ownership, whether it be majority or minority owners, like players like Dwayne Wade, maybe LeBron, or whoever, once they get past their first stage of life?
You're going to see a lot more. You're going to see Kevin Durant on a team, or he'd have to see LeBron on a team. Anyone who's made like over $300 million on the court and probably double that off the court, you're probably going to see them in some sort of ownership. That's all. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how it's going to be. And that's how it's supposed to be. If that's what they want, they should be able to get that. I remember when, you know, Magic first retired and, you know, Jerry Buss gave him, you know, a piece of ownership. So, that's kind of where we're at with things. So I would prefer to see that, you know, most ownerships do, you know, go from, you know, I prefer most star players to get a chance to get a piece of ownership. That's always cool. I mean, they're ones that put the effort into the situation. So it's good to see that.
James, man, we appreciate your time as always, man. Stay cool out there, man, and have a great week.
Thank you very much.
Jameson Welch right there, basketballnews.com. Always spitting fire on Wednesday, man. We love having him. Everyone have a great hump day. We'll catch you tomorrow.